Welcome in Direct Park. Here we'll talk about lichens and medicine. A little bit of history. The evolution of the lichen symbiosis is interesting because the co-evolution of the alga and the fungus has taken place several times at different periods and for different species. Lichens represent a success story of several million years. Fossils of lichens have been found and have been dated to approximately 418 million years ago, in the Devonian period. To give you an idea, the human appeared 200 million years ago, and the Big Bang happened 13.8 billion years ago. But if you could go back in time to the Devonian era, you wouldn't see trees or plants, which would exist but would be very small. But prototaxites. These organisms, sometimes the size of a house, dominated the landscape in Africa, Australia, Europe, North America, and Asia for 40 million years, 20 times the lifetime of humans. These huge organisms were large lichen-like structure created by the symbiosis between algae and fungi. Despite the prototaxites being very similar to lichens, there is still much debate on what this organism was. The prototaxites disappeared, probably due to the increased size of shrubs and trees, which would have shaded the organism and prevented them from using sunlight for photosynthesis. Lichens have just been around for a while and have changed their shapes and forms. What makes up a lichen? Lichens are full of chemicals. To differentiate one species from another, lichenologists, the people who study lichens, apply bleach or caustic soda, among other composants, on the talus, which creates a chemical reaction and causes the colour of the lichen talus to change. Based on this colour, we can distinguish between two lichens that are morphologically similar but structurally different. These type of tests must be carefully done because it kills the lichens. Often, the chemicals are applied to a very small part of the talus and only to a few lichens found on the substrate, the surface on which the lichen is found. In the past and still today, lichens were used for dyeing. Lichens are full of chemicals, and mixing them with other products such as ammonia creates colours which are interesting for colouring materials such as wool. In Scotland, a place where there was and still is a great deal of wool production, certain species of lichens were used extensively for dyeing, first on a small scale and then with commercial purposes. Three-legged cauldrons were often seen in the Scottish Highlands where lichens were boiled. The last producers of wools and traditional clothing ceased production in 1997. Despite this, lichens, as we have already said, grow very slowly and their harvest must be done properly, considering the time they need to grow. The traditional uses of lichens. Lichens have been used and are still used all over the world, especially in traditional medicine. This is due to the second metabolites, which are known to be physiologically active and can be used as antibiotics. Other uses of lichens depend on the carbohydrates. In Europe, the origin of the use of lichens in traditional medicine can be traced back to the 4th and 3rd century BC. The most common uses of lichens in medicine are to treat wounds, skin and digestive problems, as well as in obstetrics and gynecology. The uses depended as much on the country and customs as on the species found in the area. For example, in the 18th century, the Highlanders, the inhabitants of the Highlands in Scotland, mixed the lichen Parmelia sexatilis with tobacco. In Sweden, the same species was used to remove warts. In Bhutan, it was used to treat leprosy, uterine bleeding and ulcers in children. Other species such as Avernia prunastri are used to create perfumes. Lichens also used in pharmacology and cosmetology. Avernia and prunastri and Parmelia sexatilis are not rare species and can easily be found, sometimes in cities. Parmelia sexatilis can also produce a red-brown dye. The big question: can we eat lichens? Lichens are not digestible by animals, but some species have developed enzymes that allow them to digest the chemical components of lichens. Reindeer that feed on lichens, the Auvergne type, have special enzymes called lichenase to digest lichens and their chemicals. Nevertheless, in some customs, lichens are a source of food. The Salish people, living in northwestern USA and Canada, consumed lichens. Mixing them with other food sources captured carbohydrates. For example, lichens of the genus Bryoria were rinsed and soaked in water for several hours before being worked by hand to remove the vulpinin acids, lethal to some gastropods like snails. The lichens were then cooked in a covered fire pit with moss and earth, heated over a fire for several days, and when the lichens were dug up, they were gelatinous and black. In our society, it is very rare to eat lichens, but sometimes there are few other options. During the war from 1992 until 1995 in Bosnia and Herzegovina, some lichens of the genus Usna and Auvergne were used in porridges and to create flour. Finally, in Japan, lichens of the genus Umbilicaria are edible if prepared properly. They have been used as a food source during famine. Lichens have therefore been part of human life for centuries, whether it is to feed us, to keep the ecosystem functioning, or to stimulate thoughts.
On this tree, we'll see Christus lichen that we've already seen. Can you name them? As a reminder, Christus lichens are lichens that are encrusted in the bark. It is impossible to remove the lichen without the substrate. Powdery green specimen next to the lichen of the genus Lecanora are unicellular algae. They are not part of a lichen. You can also see mosses. It's quite common to confuse lichens with mosses despite the fact that they are completely different. A moss is a plant, completely photosynthetic. As we said, a lichen is a symbiosis and is more a fungus than a plant. Indeed, a lichen is composed of 95% fungus and the rest algae. There's a part of the trunk where there's more mosses, and these could be due to the water pouring down the trunk. Mosses thrive in a heavily watered environment. Can you see the algae? Lecanora clarotera and Lecidella elaeochroma, as well as the moss? There are some other lichen species that are in minority, but if you look for it closely, you'll be able to find them. There are some Fischia species. A new type of lichen that we've not yet seen is Candelaria concolor. This lichen is hard to see with the naked eye. The lemon yellow to green talus has a size of 0.5 to 2 centimeters and is minutely foliose. The lobules, so the small lobes, are erect and produce dense cluster on the surface of the talus, ending with seradia with powder on the margin. The species develops in dry, well-lit environment. Lastly, you might spot Fauficia orbicularis. It has a rounded talus at pressed against the bark of up to 3 cm diameter. It's very variable because it can be pale brownish-gray to brown to black. The lobes are long and can be divided at the tips. This lichen is common in a nutrient-enriched environment, and this is due to pollution. At the next stop, I'll take you on a dive into the reproduction of lichens, and like mushroom, it's exciting but not always obvious. As always, all the references are available on the website, and now we'll meet on Murrayston Park. See you there!